Amen. Find where I'm going to preach this morning. I'll take Jesus every time. Amen. Woo! I tell you what, the Lord's good, ain't he?
Amen.
The Lord's good. What a blessing it is to be saved in your right mind on the way to heaven. What a blessing. Like I said, I preached a funeral yesterday, and the pastor got up and he had everybody do the same thing. You know, he says, if you stand up, pray this prayer. I'm for people praying. I'm for that, but a lot of there's got to be some repentance there. What I usually do, if somebody doesn't know how to get saved, I mean, don't know how to pray, I'll preach to them, and I'll say, how many of y'all, heads bowed, eyes closed, how many of y'all concerned about your soul, whether you're going when you die? And they raise their hand. And I said, if you're concerned about your soul, the words are not magical. Just ask the Lord right there where you're at to save you. And then sometimes I'll help them and say, you can pray something like this. But what he did yesterday, I had to get up and I tried to straighten some of it out. Take your Bible, look at 1 Timothy. We're going to do a bunch of turning. 1 Timothy. And people think your greatest need for 2019 is this or that. They think, I need money. I need this, which you do need money to live by. And people have all kinds of ideas what they really need. And you know what? The Bible says the Holy Spirit of God inside you is interceding for you and saying to God what you really need. The Holy Spirit's inside you. And he's telling, and you're praying, God, let me hit the lottery. And the Holy Spirit's going, no, don't do that. You're praying, God, make me rich. And the Holy Spirit's saying, God, he won't even serve you what he's got. And if he make him rich, he ain't going to serve you then. So the Holy Spirit of God is inside you and making intercession for you. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. So there's, you want to know something about what your need is. It says, as I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, pray for your country. Pray for our president. Pray for our Congress, senators. Pray for men. Brother Johannes said the other night that the president of Zambia is claimed that Zambia is a Christian nation and we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said that the other night. What a blessing that is. But it says, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. You want to know what your greatest need for 2018 or 19? Is pray for our country. Intercede for people. Pray for people. Pray, Lord, meet their needs. And not what they want, but give them what they need. And the Bible says God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We have a focus on what we really think we need, but really the focus is over here about your spiritual walk. And it says, this is good. Look what the Bible says. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, it's saying God wants everybody to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants all men saved, but are they all going to get saved? No, they're not. The greatest need that man, if you're sitting here today, your greatest need right now is getting saved. That's your greatest need for 2019. Get saved. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Come into your heart. A young man came to my office this morning. What's that boy's name? Is he here? Daniel. He came in and he was talking to me and he said, I know I'm saved. I got saved. He said, man, there's a battle going on. And I started explaining to him about the battle. And he goes, yeah, that makes sense. And he started getting, he says, that makes sense. And he started telling me what was going on in his life. And I said, man, it's a struggle. It's a battle. And I told him, I said, a cross is when your will goes this way and God's will is going this way. And what happens is when you start lining up with him, everything comes out right. But your greatest need for 2019 is getting saved. Getting saved. And look what else it says. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man. And it's not the Pope. It's not a preacher. It's not somebody else. It's one mediator between God and man. Who is it? It says, the man Christ Jesus. There's one mediator. God can mediate. Jesus Christ can mediate to God. and there's only one, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher, an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And lifting up hands is praying, is saying, Lord, I surrender. That's what that is. I surrender, Lord. I surrender myself. But that's your greatest need, is getting saved. Salvation is a part. When you get started, we was preaching yesterday about Pop McKinney. He was a man, and he was a good man. But then there was times he was a bad man. And he just made things for his family. But he realized near the end of his life he needed to get saved. And he got saved. And what a blessing that is. He got saved. He got in. And our greatest need as a Christian after you're saved is finding the will of God for your life and finding what God wants you to do. Because God didn't save you to sit and do nothing. God saved you for a purpose. He saved you. There's a purpose in your life. If you read through the book of Acts, you read through there when the early church was started. I believe the church was started in Acts chapter 2. It might have been started a little earlier. I'm not hyper dispensationalist or anything. I believe that church got started in Acts chapter 2. But God saved them for a purpose. And there's friends, neighbors, loved ones, and everything else that's a part of you that only you can reach, that God wants you to tell them about Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose in your life. Your purpose is give back to God. Give yourself back to God. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Men go down through this life trying to satisfy themselves, trying to live for themselves, and end up dying, have nothing to show for their life. You say, well, houses, cars, that don't mean nothing. I'm talking about in heaven. I'm talking about the Bible says lay up for yourself the treasures in heaven. Having something go ahead of you. And men will die in this life, might have nice homes, might have cars, money. And like the preacher said yesterday, nobody, when they're dying, starts checking their bank account. They don't check that. Man, your bank account in heaven is most important because you're going there. Jesus talked about and made it clear. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. Finish it. God, we all start out. People start out good, but they don't finish good. You read through the book of Kings, Samuel, you find Saul started out good, but he didn't finish good. Here we're starting out 2018. I was reading over there, and I was thinking about preaching on Acts chapter 12, where it says, talking about when the children of Israel is getting ready to leave Egypt. And the Lord said, this is going to be the new year for you. They've been 430 years in Egypt as slaves. And then the Lord said, I want you to get a lamb, and I want you to eat it. And he said, then get the lamb. And then he says, your lamb will be without blemish. And put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. That started a new era. He said, this day is the first month, the first day of the new year for you. And here we are getting ready to go in 2019. And a lot of people make all kinds of commitments to God, but they don't keep them. They start out right, but they don't finish right. I want to finish right. Here we're finishing up. Today is December 30th, 2018. I'm getting ready to say 2018. I want to finish out the year right. I want to start the new year right. And I'm going to start and finish my course. But Jesus said to finish the work that he'd given him. I'm telling you, folks, he said, a pessimist will say, I can't try because I'll fail. But an optimist, he'll say, if I don't try, I can't win. Folks, I don't want to be a pessimist and sit around and say, I just can't, I can't. I used to do that. I can't preach. And maybe I still can't. But I used to say, I can't preach. And I can't do this. I can't do that. But somebody is an optimist and say, wait, I can do it through God's help. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. An optimist is saying, I know the Lord's able, more than able, to do whatever he wants in my life. And I want to give that my life to him. It's up to you. There's up to you. The whole thing is up to you for 2019. Alex was telling me the other day. He said he got a reward the other day. He said a $200 bonus. Is that right? Yeah. $200 bonus for never missing a day at work. And I said, man, that's an accomplishment, brother. Yep. $200 bonus. He said, if I go, how many years have you done that?
I've done it for 1 year. If I do it for 5 years, I'll get
$500. He said, if he does it for 5 years, he'll get $500. And Alex will go to work and park out front and go sleep in his car until it's time to go to work and then go to work. And when he told me he got $200 bonus, that's a reward for not missing a day. You think God ain't going to reward his children for not being faithful? He'll reward those of being faithful. And I mean, folks, you ought to make up your mind. You say, I'm going to be in my Bible every day. I'm going to be praying every day. The Bible says supplication, prayers, intercession, be made for all men. I mean, I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to pray, encourage people. I mean, this new year coming up, I want to change. I just don't want to be a hermit sitting in the room. Can you imagine, man, some people sat at Christmas time, sat in the room and just watched TV. No fellowship, no nothing. Boy, you talking about boring. You talking about, man, what a mess that is. I mean, folks, God's got a will for your life, and God's got something for you. And you'll never find out if you don't go forward. You'll never find out what he's got in store for you unless you're willing to surrender. God just don't give it to you when you don't surrender to it. There's something about a man that God will use, but there's something that what happens to most Christians, take your Bible, look in Acts chapter 4. What happens to most Christians is they won't even try. And they know God's able. And they'll think back, they'll sit around, somebody will give testimony, say, God did this for me, God did that for me. They'll say, amen, that's good. But you know, in the back of their mind, you're thinking, God ain't going to do that to me. God won't do that for me. Or they forget what God's done for them in the past. God's done something for you in the past, and you forgot when you got to this point in your life. You've gone backwards rather than going forward. Man, what happens? Your failure. God's all powerful. We know that. God's powerful, and we forget how he's brought us through troubles and trials before, and we get this mealy-mouth thing, and we think, well, God ain't going to do it. Look at the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Man, they seen all the miracles in Egypt. They got to the Red Sea, and the first thing they did was start complaining. They started saying, God ain't able. God ain't able. And the Bible says Moses said, you stand still and see the salvation of God. And he tells the Levites, go to the water. Go ahead. Go forward. And they go out, and they're going, oh, God, we're going to drown. We're going to drown. And all of a sudden, when their feet hit the water, boom. Well, Moses took his staff, put it in the water. Boom. The thing went back. And they went over on dry ground. You'll never see God's miracle. You never see God's purpose for your life if you sit around and do nothing. Yeah. And boy, I tell you what, you need to be praying. You need to be reading your Bible. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 33. It says, with great power, back up to verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And it says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, the power comes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost. And with great grace was upon them all. Neither was any among them that lacked, for many of them possessed land and houses, sold them, and brought the prices of them that were sold. And see, these people went forward, man, and they just trusted God. And they seen power in their life. I don't know about you, but I'd like to see more power in our church in 2019. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I want to see more power, things God moving in people's lives. And folks, a lot of churches, man, God's blessed this church. And we've seen people saved and saved and saved. Like David said a little while ago, we get to the place and, well, yeah, they got saved, they got in. But man, we've seen some miracles happen. Yeah. I mean, Jesse got up here and told the other night about a lady at work that got saved. And how she came in and said she got saved. And they sat around and talked about it. And what a miracle that was. This girl had been abused and all kinds of stuff. And she got saved. I mean, folks, we can see more of God moving in people's lives and people getting saved in 2019. And if we just, man, trust the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. I mean, I want the will of God in my life. And I don't want to dwell on just the past. I want the future, man. I want the now and now, the nasty now and now. I want to see God do something now. I don't want to wait and just talk about the old days. You know, a lot of people sit around in churches this morning. They'll talk about the old days, what it used to be like in the old days. In the old days, thank God for the old days. They were an example to us. But what about the future? What about our children? Are they going to stay with it? Are they going to live for God? But they're not going to follow God. They're not going to live for God if you're a fake.
Amen.
If you're a phony.
Amen. Yeah.
And God's not real to you and you don't see God moving your life.
Go ahead.
He ain't going to be real to them either.
Yeah.
How about it, Christian?
Yeah, amen.
2019. I mean, man, you'll fail or you'll get up and you'll go on for God. And when troubles come, you'll trust him. You'll say, God, I'm trusting you. I don't know, understand it. I don't know what's going on. It seemed like every Christmas time we get calls. Somebody died. Somebody got this. This happened. And you say, well, I don't go, man, why does it always have to happen to us? I don't do that. You know what we do? We go, God, do something.
Yes,
we know, God, you're able. You're more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. God, do something. Trouble's going to come. You might have to face it. It's going to come. And if you're going to face some troubles, you better face it with the Lord. You better trust him. Folks, failure, what happened to a lot of people, they fail to remember what God's done in their weakness. They remember their own weakness. You got to remember, you're weak, but he's strong. And Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong.
Yeah.
Look in 2 Corinthians. Look what Paul said. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. I mean, folks, God's strong. And he's able. If God chooses, if cancer come, if God chooses, if he's got power to heal it, or he's got power to let it go. Sometimes God heals people, sometimes he don't. You got to watch out for these fakers on TV always talking about, if you're not healed, it's your fault. If you're not healed, they call themselves apostles, and they're not. They're liars. And they claim that they can heal all these people, and then if you don't get healed, it's your fault and all that stuff. You got to watch out for that mess. And the Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, he said, I left some sick in Melita. And he's talking about those that are sick. Hey, the apostleship. And now I believe God can heal. I know God can heal. But what happens, a lot of these Christian TV evangelists and all that stuff, they claim if you're not healed, send your money and expand your seed and all that kind of stuff. I believe in giving to God. I believe in planting seed. But I tell you what, I'm not believing giving it to them so they can get rich and buy Mercedes and buy 15 houses and all that junk. They're a bunch of crooks. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at this. In verse 10, he says, Paul talking about his weakness. He prayed to God. And look in verse 7. It says, unless I should be exalted, back up verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or to he heareth me of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Here the Apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. I mean, he had the power of God in his life. I mean, he started churches all over Asia, all over even in Europe. He started churches, and he said, God gave me a Satan to buffet me, and it gave me a sickness that I might not be exalted above measure.
Amen.
What happens to a lot of people, they say, well, God, if God did that, I don't want to serve him. Or God, he's not fair. Here the Apostle Paul, man, never got to enjoy, have a wife, never got to have a family, never got to have children, never had none of that stuff. And he still had his mind set, I'm a servant and love him. People fail to remember what God is and he has a purpose for your life. And you say, well, I'm married, I got family. Thank God he's given you that. He's given you those things in joy. I was able to sit there at Christmas time and watch all my children, grandchildren, and all that. We rejoice, open presents, laugh, cried. Man, all those things happened. And then thanking each other for living for God. Man, what a joy that was. The Apostle Paul never had that. I had it, but the Apostle Paul didn't. Hey, man, what happens? Look what he says. He said, God gave me Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. I prayed God, three times that it might depart from me. You might be going through something this morning. You might got something going on in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. You just trust him. I mean, like Peter said, Lord, you got the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? What are you going to do? Turn your back on him now? You going to quit serving him now? You going to say, God ain't fair? What are you going to do now? You better keep on serving him. Like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. He said, God, you can kill me, but I'm going to serve you anyhow. You got to make up your mind. 2019, you better make up your mind. We don't know what might happen next year. We don't know what might happen tomorrow. Matter of fact, we might not even know what's happening today. But you better trust him. Paul said this. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, the abundance of revelation there was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. This thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, what? My grace is what? Sufficient. You know, I've learned God gives you things in your life so you have compassion for other people. Because we get stuck in our own little world. We get stuck in our own little mind that we just feel sorry for ourselves. And we get, you know, thinking we deserve better and all that stuff. And the Lord allows something to happen in your life. And then you see other people going through and you go, God. Or you see somebody a lot worse. Yeah. You ever thank God for a sound mind? Amen. I mean, man, thank God that your everything works, your body works. You sit around, you can find out what you do. You can complain about what you don't have, but what about thanking God for what you do have?
Amen.
That little girl got up here and said, thank God for a bicycle. That little girl is in foster care. That little girl don't know where she's going to be. Brother Jason got her a bike. Sister Carrie took her in. That little girl don't know what's going to happen. She's only 5 years old. She's been abused and all kinds of stuff. You feel sorry for yourself? I can't imagine a little five-year-old. God have mercy. I get mad at myself. I get mad at myself for thinking about myself too much. We get around thinking about ourselves. We get depressed. You know, I found that what makes me really happy is being able to serve God during the Christmas season. Because if I sit around, I get depressed. I got to be doing something. But I tell you what, I find most happiness come when you're in the will of God. Your greatest need is to be in the will of God, in the center of God's will, 2019. Look what Paul said. By my grace sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. I'll tell you what, I don't know, I haven't got to that place where I can gladly rejoice in my infirmities. Paul went to prison, and the power of Christ may rest upon me. I remember going to Bible school, Dr. Seiler and Dr. Rome used to both of them used to say, he said, you got to pay a price if you want the power of God. You know, the power of God, it's going to cost. It'll cost. And that's why a lot of people run from it. But they'll pay a price to the world.
Yeah, that's right.
They'll pay a price for their kids. You know, people talk about sacrificing their kids. They sacrifice their kids for a job, right, for money. They sacrifice the kids for all that.
Yep.
You're going to pay a price. I'd rather pay a price for the good thing,
amen,
than for bad.
Yep.
People forget. They fail to remember. They fail to remember God's willingness to help them. You know, the Bible says, look over in Isaiah 40. Look what it says. I'm not going to preach this whole message. Look what Isaiah 40 says. I'm going through my messages this morning trying to figure out what to preach. And I thought about Exodus 12, about a new year, starting a new year with the lamb. You got to start the year out with the lamb. You got to start the year out with the lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. When I look at people now, when I'm preaching to them, I don't get mad. I used to, when I was a young preacher, I used to get mad at people, looking at them, their faces, the way they look at you, scrouting, you know, shaking their head and all that. I don't get mad now. When I see somebody, if they shake their head and all that stuff, it makes my heart break for them. I start praying for them more. I started, God, I go after him. I went to one funeral. I walked by a guy. I went to shake his hand. He goes, I ain't shaking your hand. I said, why not, man? Well, shake my hand. He said, I ain't shaking your hand. I don't appreciate you and I don't like you. I said, that's fine, but I like you. I said, I want to see you saved. He wouldn't shake my hand. And you say, you get mad and say, oh, man, go on to hell then. Go on to hell. No, it makes me pray for him more. He don't realize what he just did. He realized, I'll tell you what, he got me to get a hold of God for him. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 31. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord. Look at it. I mean, they fail to remember God's willingness to help them. You know, our problem is we're in a hurry. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait to see God do something. So we always put our little 2 cents in there. We throw our opinion in there. We'll throw all kinds of other stuff in there, and we'll mess it up. Just keep your mouth shut and just wait on the Lord. Just keep your mouth shut and pray. Say, Lord, so-and-so said this, and Lord, you know I love him. I care about him. See, God, the thing about it, you can't fool God. If your heart's not right, you can't fool God. If you know your heart ain't right, then get it right. You ain't fooling the Lord. When it comes to your prayers being answered, you ain't fooling God. You play all the games and say, oh, you know, I care about you. No, you, and you really don't show it. And God knows it. Look at this. Even the youth shall faint. Look back up verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. God don't get tired. We get tired. We get wore out. God doesn't. He don't faint. Brother, he's on the job all the time. He's got his ears open all the time listening to prayers. You think about 7.5 billion people on the planet crying out. Some people crying out. Some people complaining. Some people doing all this. God hears it. God knows it. Everything's being recorded. He says, and fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the what? He giveth power to the what?
Faint.
And to them that have no might, he increases strength. You say, man, I don't know where that strength came from. I'll tell you where it came from. It came from above.
Amen.
He'll give you strength. I know Mrs. Tackett just down the road here. I haven't got to see her yet, but she's going through some things. She just had an operation, and she's going through some stuff. And I want to get down to see her. Y'all ladies, if you can, get down to see her. It would be a blessing to her. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I mean, man, wait on God. Trust the Lord. And I'm not talking about just go in a room and sit down and do nothing, wait on God. You got a prayer. You're saying, God, I want my family saved. I want to see my family saved, Lord. Save my mom and dad. Save my family. But the Lord, he says, wait on the Lord, okay? I'm trusting you, Lord. But while I'm trusting you to save them, I'm going to go try to win somebody else's family to the Lord. I'm going to try to be busy about your work. I'm going to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Look what the Bible says. And what happens is every time we put it in our hands, we mess it up. Every time we try to take a hold of the horns, we destroy it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I mean, man, we forget what God's willingness to do something in our life. He wants to do something in our life.
Amen.
Are you wanting him to do it? You say, well, I want him to do it. Then shut your mouth and talk to him. Stop complaining. Submit to him. Submit to his will. I mean, man, just say, Lord, I submit to it. It ain't always going to be pleasurable, the will of God. It's not always going to be, okay, I'm going to get rich if I submit to the will of God. You might watch these TV preachers and think that. But you ain't going to find no Baptist, a real Bible-believing preacher, that's going to get rich. You ain't going to find that. You're going to find a man is not, you know, he's just going to try to serve God. God blesses him for it. I'm going to tell you, folks, preaching the word of God, I tell you, I've preached hundreds of funerals. And boy, I've got in funerals and said, Lord, I don't want to preach this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do it, but I'll do it because you want me to. It ain't popular.
Yep.
It ain't going to be popular. Especially, like I said, you mentioned hell. As soon as I mention hell, it seems like there's a hardness comes over the crowd. As soon as I say, hey, you don't want to die and go to hell, they get hard. And man, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear nothing about hell. They ain't no hell. There's no place called hell. And what Jesus said it is. That's what we're talking about in Sunday school. I mean, folks, the will of God is not popular. It's not always the smooth path. A lot of these people make you think. And this boy was telling me this morning, he was sitting in here, he said, man, it's hard at times. I said, yeah, it's going to be. You got to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind that I'm going to serve God no matter what. I'm going to be faithful. I mean, folks, if a company could reward a guy for not missing a day, you think God's going to be better than that company? You know, that Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to stand. Romans chapter 14 says, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to be judged for the things we've done in our body since we've been saved. Your greatest need is get saved. The second greatest need is submit to God's will. Whatever God has for you. You want to, the will of God, when I got saved, I was 18 years old. My wife and I was the boyfriend, girlfriend. And I finally got saved. We started going to church. And we started going to church. And we said, we got to do what's right. And we got married. We decided to get married. We got married at a church, big old church of 1,500 people. Wasn't the 1,500 people there. It was just a friend of mine that was on drugs standing there all messed up. His wife standing over there. And she looked like she was disgusted. And my father, my mother, and her dad and mom was there. And my sister-in-law and a few other people there. I had a wool suit on. The only thing I had, God gave me, and it was itchy. And I'm sitting there going like this the whole time, itching. And we didn't have no money and didn't have nothing. But we just wanted to serve God. We wanted to do what was right. We were submitting to God. We wanted to honor God. So we got married. We went back to my dad's house after we went out to eat. I invited, everybody come to eat. It was only about, 10, 15 people maybe. And I invited everybody, and her dad had to pay for it. And her dad, we went to an Italian restaurant. It was Lido's. Remember the old Lido's? It was over in College Park. Not the Lido's they have now, the franchise. But I'm talking about the old Lido's. I love that Lido's pizza. And we went over there, and we ate dinner. And I ate after church. I went home. My father, I was sitting on the couch. My wife was sitting next to me. My father was walking up and down in front of us, and he had a cigar in his hand. And he's walking down, and he said, Alan, I was telling the story this morning, that boy. He said, Alan, this house is your house. He said, you never have to worry about going anywhere. He said, you can live here all you want, but she's got to go. We just got married. He said, she's got to go. So I stood up, I said, Dad, if she goes, I got to go. And he had a cigar and had one finger, had cut this finger vein in there and never got it fit, and his finger stuck straight up. When he died, we put him in the casket, and that finger was still sticking straight up. And my father walked in front of us, and he's smoking a cigar. He goes, I thought you'd say that. And he said, you've never had to pay rent here. You never will have to pay rent. But she's got to pay $25 a week. So I had to pay $25 a week. My wife and I, man, we started trying to serve God. We got into bus ministry. I didn't have a license. I lost my license when I was 16 years old. I got them when I was 14. And when I got 68 points on my license. And here I was running my brother's trash company. My brother went to prison. I was 18 years old. We got married at 19. But my brother went to prison before that. And I'm running my brother's trash company. I'm driving on my brother's license. I was illegal. Driving a trash truck. And folks, I had to rent U-Hauls. So next time you have to rent a U-Haul, I had to rent U-Hauls to haul trash. I went to dig dumpsters out at night. I did it at night. I'm going around apartment buildings and backing up a U-Haul to the dumpsters and throwing the trash out of the dumpster so they would think the trash man came by with the trash truck. I had a U-Haul. And go to the dump and throw it all out. 18 years old because we didn't have no trash truck. Broke down. Everything was broke down. And Linda and I got married at 19. Finally got a trash truck. Finally got all that stuff. And I love trash trucks. I told you all that before. I love trash trucks. And but we decided we wanted to do what's right. Samson came along. He was born. The day we got married, we didn't go on no honeymoon. She went home. She got sick from the food we ate. We went home, back to my mom's house, and I got a picture of me coming out of the house with my old clothes on, and I was out in the middle of, I'm talking about in the city now. I'm in the city, got a truck, a roofing truck on the side of the road, a steak body truck, and I'm putting a clutch in it on the side of the road at my dad's, at mom's house. That was our honeymoon. And we decided we're going to get into church, and we're going to raise our son. When we have a child, she got pregnant on that day. The day we got married. She's getting a big kick out of this. We decided we were going to raise our child for God.
Amen.
So I didn't have a license. I couldn't drive a church bus, but I got this guy, and he couldn't drive a lick. I started teaching him how to drive. Got his CDL license. And he would drive the church bus. He'd hit every curb. I mean, the kids would be sitting on one side, and he'd hit a curb, boom, all the kids would be on the other side. And Linda was teaching me how to read. I'm talking about submitting to God's will. I'm talking about 2019 being submissive. Man, you think, oh, it was easy for you. No, it wasn't. At night, she's trying to teach me how to read. And people come around and tell me how hard it is. You going to come up and tell me how hard it is for you to live for God when I was doing drugs and in prison and all that stuff and you were drinking, and you going to come around and tell me how hard it is?
Preacher, come on.
You got to give me a... You going to tell me that? I didn't even think it was hard. I just thought that was it. That's what we do. That's just what we do.
Amen.
My wife and I ride in that bus, and I'd get Oliver Green track and preach on hell on that track. I grew up in D.C. I had all the bus kids, most of my bus kids were all black kids. I took them to, nobody else wanted to go in the neighborhood, pick them up. I'd go in the neighborhood.
Amen.
And pick them up. Preach to them. Boy right across the street got saved, next door to me got saved, named Greg. And man, we was going out getting kids. And Samson was born. We had him on the bus. We'd hold him up like what was that, Lion King? We just wanted to be submissive to God's will.
Amen.
God started dealing with my heart about going to Bible school. I knew I couldn't read. I'm learning. I was driving a trash truck. I finally got a brand new trash truck. I was so proud of that thing. I'm telling you, our family, we never had trash trucks, but when we were younger, we had to do everything by hand. The first trash truck we ever got, we sat out there all night long, the whole family, and stared at it. You ride by, we just staring at the trash truck. Miracle. That thing goes, wow. My mom picked up trash. My mom shaved her hair, said she looked like a man. And she would go with a crew of men. My sister, she's here. She can tell you what, she can tell you. That's the truth. We all worked. If you didn't work, you got beat. My father would beat us half to death if you didn't work. He carried a water hose down his pants. He looked like Zorro when he pulled that thing out. He'd leave whelps all over us. We had to work. You gonna tell me how hard it is? We made up our mind, my wife and I. We're going to raise our kids for the Lord. We're going to do what's right. We just made up our mind. And we was in church every time the doors opened. She had to drive because I didn't have a license. I drove on Monday morning. I drove a trash truck. I'm going to tell you something. You submit to God's will, He works everything out.
Amen.
See, my life is a mess. He straightened it out.
Yes. Yep. Amen.
They that wait upon the Lord mount up wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary. You know what God did for us? That was 1974, I got saved. 1975, my brother goes to prison. 1976, Linda and I got married, February 14th. And 1977, we end up going to Bible school. 1978, we went to Bible school. I went up to Hiles Anderson, but they wouldn't take me because I couldn't read. Said, did you quit because of that? Nope. They said, we can't take you. You don't have a high school education. I said, okay, I'll find somewhere I can go. I didn't get mad at them. People get mad over stupid things. I didn't get mad. I said, I'll go somewhere where they can take me. And we know what we've seen? We've seen God's hand, everything we did. I've been here 31 years. We've seen God's hand. 2019, I want to see God's hand some more.
Amen. Yeah.
Don't you? Let's all stand.